श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम 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 रघुपति राघव राजा राम पतित पावन सीताराम सीताराम जय सीताराम सीताराम जय लक्ष्मण हनुमान सीताराम जानकी वल्लभ सीताराम सीताराम जय लक्ष्मण हनुमान सीताराम जय सीताराम सीताराम जय सीताराम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम श्री राम जय राम जय जय राम हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण जय प्रभु पराजय प्रभु पराजय प्रभु पराजय प्रभु पराजय गुरुदेव तय गौर हरिबोल नाइन्थ कैंटो 11 चैप्टर टेक्स्ट नंबर 23 पुरुषो रामचरितं श्रवणैरुपधारयन् आन्दृशंस्यपरो राजन् कर्मबन्धैर्विमुच्यते There is a famous prayer in glorification of Lord Ram. In which the devotee offers the prayer like this. O Lord Ramachandra, who is the carrier of, it's called as the Godandraman, which means one who carries the bow and the quiver of arrows and who protects his devotees and who is accompanied by his brother Lakshman on one side and Sita on the other. With Hanuman sitting at his lotus feet, with Bharat and Shatrughna carrying the white umbrella over his head and offering chamar. This is the Pattabhishega Ramdarbar, form of Lord Ramachandra. So there is a wonderful prayer seeking protection at the feet of Lord Ram. So today we are celebrating the Ram Navami. Although Ramayana is well known amongst the people, the pastime of Lord Ram and Sita, there are innumerable teachings that are interwoven in the Ramayana by Valmiki. And every few sentences you read, there is some lesson that comes out of Ramayana. So I will only be focusing on certain specific aspects of Ramayana. As it is said here, a devotee is confident about his protection. A devotee must be completely... Prabhupada is talking about how a devotee knows Lord is a supreme protector in this particular verse. So one interesting pastime of how when Sita was kept in the Ashoka Vatika, when she was there, it is explained, on one hand, she was feeling the fire of separation of Ram for a long period of time. So she had become like a lotus that is closed in the evening. Like in the morning you find a fully blossomed rose, in the evening you find a closed rose or a lotus flower. And she was just sitting on the ground with no cushion or no nice place to sit. And she was constantly absorbed in remembrance of Lord Ram in her mind. And Ravana would come time to time to see her to declare about how great he was, to tell about his prowess. He would say that, I have even fought with Indra. I have even shaken up the Meru Parvat. So in this way, Ravana would come and tell about his greatness time to time to her. And tell her, why do you sit on the ground? Why are you wearing this clothes that have become dirty? And you have removed all your ornaments. You look so emaciated. Come and become my royal queen. I'll offer you. And then Ravana would declare about how there are crores of Rakshasas with them. And at any given time, there are 1,000 servants accompanying Ravana wherever he walks. And he would tell her, I will ornament you with all types of most valuable jewelry and garments and garlands, and you can sit by my side. And in this way you can rule over all Sri Lanka. And all these beautiful women whom I have brought from different parts of the universe will be surrendered to you. They will all wait upon you and serve you. So Ravana tried talking sweet words to her, but she would often turn her face away, not even want to hear him. And Ravana would sometimes threaten her, I'll give you a period of 1 year before which if you don't act according to my wish, then I will arrange to cut you into pieces and cook you in the kitchen and have you as my breakfast. He would threaten her like that. And then he would turn around to all the Rakshasis in the neighborhood and tell them, all of you, you can flatter her, you threaten her, give her rewards, give her whatever she wants. Give her jewelry, give her dresses, very nice, everything. Whatever it takes to make Sita obliged to my desires, you should do that. He told the other Rakshasis. And then afterwards, Ravana would go away. And after he would go away, then the Rakshasis would persuade her. Tell her, you foolish woman. Don't you know who is Ravana? And then they would tell about his parakramata, what all Ravana has done. What is his wealth, what is his prowess, they would glorify. So the more Sita was away from Ram and the more she was tortured by Ravana, the more she became morose. At that time, Brahma called Indra and said, it is very nice that as per our plan, Ravana has stolen Sita and taken her to Lanka. So now the things are going to go in the right direction now. Subsequently, Ram has to come to Lanka and kill Ravana. But there is a problem. It seems to me that Sita is becoming more and more worried. It's likely that she may even leave her body. She may even die. I want to ensure that she will not leave her body. So, better Indra, you go and offer her this heavenly sweet rice, which can free one from thirst, one from hunger, one from tiredness, and one from old age. It can relieve one from all these things. Go and offer the sweet rice to her. So he gave him a bowl of sweet rice. So Indra carried Nidra Devi along with him and came down to Sri Lanka. He went to the Ashoka Vatika and he sent Nidra Devi ahead. She went and put all the Rakshasis to sleep. And they all were snoring, sleeping and snoring. And then Indra assumed the form of a Brahmana. Then he went with a pot of sweet rice to give to Mother Sita. Sita was very suspicious about anyone, because she knew that Ravana can change forms, come in different forms. So she initially refused to accept. She wanted that Brahmana to ascertain his identity, who he was, how he is Indra. Then the Brahmana turned into Indra, the effulgent form of Indra, and Indra carrying the sweet rice. She saw that his foot were not on the ground, they were above the ground level, and also his cloth was completely free from dirt, and the garland he was wearing was fresh, without any dryness. So she understood that this is Indra only. Then she accepted it. Accepted the sweet rice, and then she offered it to Ram, remembering Ram, offered her obeisances, and then she accepted. As she accepted the sweet rice more and more, her body became fresh, and she never had to eat anything else for a long time to come. She didn't have to drink even a cup of water after that. So when Indra went back and told Brahma, all the demigods became very happy. Now, Sita is now hale and healthy. There's nothing to worry. So, generally they said that the Lord sees to the protection of his devotee. That the devotee need not worry about one's own protection. Like here Sita didn't even care for her eating or sleeping or comfort. Lord was seeing to her protection through the demigods, and he had arranged for her protection. While the devotee, what does the devotee do? The devotee is constantly thinking of the Lord. The devotee is constantly serving the Lord, offering service. And the devotee doesn't care about personal worries. So that can be seen from the life of Sita, how her mind was in a one-pointed focus on remembrance of Lord Ram. That was her consciousness, as he says here. In fact, when Lord Ram was ordered by his father to go to forest, subsequently we come to read such interesting pastimes of Lord Ram teaching the world so many lessons. Because Lord Ram is called as Maryada Purushottam. Maryada Purushottam means one who has come to set an example for the human beings. So, in fact, he goes to Kaikeyi and tells her, "My dear mother, why do you have to tell Dasharatha to tell me to go to forest? If you tell me, I would have easily gone. Don't think I had to be forced to go to forest. I would be the most happiest to see Bharata becoming the next king. I will surely fulfill your instruction." He says that. And then he goes to Kaushalya, his mother, to tell her that that I have to go to forest on the order of the father. Actually, Dasharatha was not at all willing to send Ram to forest. But there were some mistakes committed. Mistakes are, you can call them as transcendental arrangements by the Lord. Just like, for example, in those days, whenever marriage was done, there was something called as a Kanya Shulk, they used to call it. Kanya Shulk means when the boy and girl would get married, the girl's parents and boy's parents would come together. Not both the parents, only the man, father. The father of the girl, father of the boy, they would come, along with the third party. In that case, it was Vasishtha Muni. So Vasishtha and Kaikeya, Kekaya Raja and Dasharatha. Those three of them met. And Kekaya confidentially was inquiring from Dasharatha that you already have two queens. Sumitra, and who is the other one? Kaushalya Sumitra. Kaushalya had a daughter, but Sumitra had none. So he said, you already have two queens, and if they beget a son, what will happen to my daughter's son? He asked the question. And Dasharath said, I am already old. I don't think, you know, those two queens will be able to beget any children anymore. I only expect a son from Kaikeyi. And surely that son will become the next king. But then Kaikeyi was asking, but how can I be sure that you will make my daughter's son as the next king? So he wrote that patra, which is called as Kanyashulka, which is an agreement known only to the three people. Of course, now we all know it also now. By hearing about it, everyone can know it. But at that time, it was known only to three people only. But when Kaikeyi got married to Dasharatha, when she was about to go, K.K. Raja, out of intense attachment for his daughter, he secretly told her the truth, what was promised by Dasharatha to him. This is the problem of attachment. Attachment can cause so many problems. The whole Ramayana came about because of attachment. So later on, Kaikeyi knew this, and also she had those two boons which she wanted to ask, keeping both in mind. So she wanted to ask. So now, nobody actually wanted Ram to go to forest. Even Dasharatha didn't want. It was only Mantra who wanted, because of which she twisted the brain of Kaikeyi. So when Ram went to Kaushalya, she began to cry tears. She said, this is not proper justice. She said, you cannot go to forest. You have to stay back at home. And she was ready to convince Dasharatha. What she said was, you don't become the king, but you stay in the palace. Let Bharata become the king. And I will convince the king. And I will convince Kaikeyi. Don't worry. But Ram said, no, that's not possible. Your son should never forego the instruction of the father. I cannot give up this order. Order is already given. I have to fulfill it at any cost. Then Kaushalya said, if that is going to happen, you are going to go forest and we have to remain here. That is not possible. Then we will also come with you, she said. Take me with you. I will leave everything. For me, you are my very life. You take me with you. Then Ram said, my dear mother, what are you talking? For a wife, there is no other shelter other than the husband. You should never break the rule which every woman is supposed to follow. You are supposed to... In fact, he said, already the king is so much disheartened by Kaikeyi's demands. And now if you also desert him and come to forest, he will not be able to maintain his life. And even your dharma doesn't allow you, your duty. So you have to stay back, he said. And then Sita came there. At that time Sita was actually worshipping the family deity, which is Vishnu, and praying for the welfare of Ram. And then after she finished the puja and turned around and came back, when she came to know the whole thing, then she was determined to go also with Ram. So Lord Ram was telling her, no, my dear Sita, you stay back here in the palace and every morning you get up and offer obeisances to Dasharatha and all of our three mothers. And then do your duties. And there is Lakshman, there is Bharat, they will all offer you good protection. And you can remain in the palace and 14 years will go like 14 days. You don't have to worry. So when he said that, Sita speaks philosophy also, very strongly. She said, my dear husband Ram, what are you talking? You're talking about going to forest, leaving me behind? How can I remain here alone? And your wife, she says, a man or a woman, a mother or a father or a son or a brother, all these people can remain alone. They have independent existence, but a wife has no independent existence. Husband is her only refuge. She cannot take refuge of even herself also. On her own strength also she cannot take refuge. So she said, I am going to come with you. And Ram tried to pacify her, telling her, you know, in the forest, you know, you will not get a nice soft bed like here to sleep. There will be extreme cold, extreme heat, and there are going to be forest animals. It's very dangerous. And you won't get nice food, fine foods to eat, like you're eating here in the palace. There you will have to eat kandamool and roots and berries. Sometimes you will get nothing. So he tried to pacify her, telling her that, you know, I can tolerate all that. I'm a Kshatriya king. I'm a Kshatriya. I can tolerate, but you can't tolerate. But she said, I would be more happy to live in the midst of hills and lakes and rivers and the forests and all kinds of things if you are by my side, if I am always with you. For a woman, she said, being with the husband is like being in heaven. Being without the husband is like going to hell. And she said, in fact, according to astrology, she said, in my astrology, it is said that I am supposed to live in the forest for some period of my life. And I think that period has come now. So destiny wants me to travel with you. So you also take me with you. She was telling. And Ram again tried to pacify her, saying so many reasons. Now she became very afraid that Ram is going to leave me behind. Out of intense fear, thinking at the prospect of being left behind, her whole body started trembling, lips started quivering, the eyelids started flapping very fastly, and there were torrents of tears in her eyes, out of great fear that she'll be separated from Ram. And then again she was telling, no, Ram, if you leave me behind, I will drown myself in the river. Or I will consume poison and die. Or I'll enter into fire. That's what you will see me when you leave me behind. She threatened. Still Ram persuaded. Ram said, no, you should not die. At the same time, you should stay behind. And you should serve my mother, Kaushalya. So when she heard it, now she became angry at Ram. She said, what kind of husband are you? I don't know why my father gave me in marriage to you. Only to leave behind like this and go to forest? So at this time, Ram's heart melted. Then he said, okay, I'll take you with me. Then Ram took her outside of the forest. So you will see, here in this wonderful lessons you find how Ram teaches the example of how one should follow the instruction of the superior father. And how for him the dharma is to follow his father. Similarly for his mother, the dharma is to not leave the husband behind and go with the son. She has to follow her dharma. Similarly, Sita has the wife. Like a wife of a king sits by the side of the king when he is ruling. And she enjoys a lot of kingly delights. Like she may wear a crown, she may wear costly garments and ornaments and fine foods she may eat. She may live a very happy life, getting respect from so many people as a queen. But when the king goes to forest, then she also follows his path to the forest. That is actually the duty of a wife, which Mother Sita shows. In fact, when actually there are many teachings. I was about to speak about how when Sita and Ram, they go to the forest. You know, at one point of time, Bharat Vilap takes place. Bharat comes and he takes the paduka of Ram and he goes back. After that, there is a beautiful incident which talks about the humility of Lord Ram. Lord Ram was thinking, myself and Lakshman and Sita, you know, we are of unnecessary nuisance value to the sages and saints who are constantly absorbed in reciting the Vedic mantras and absorbed in spirituality. We have come here in the forest and we are accompanying them wherever they are going. He thought like that. At one time he saw some of the sages were appearing to be a little restless. So Lord Ram asked them, please kindly feel free to tell me, is our presence causing some disturbance to you? He asked them. Then one of the sages said, no, my dear Ram. In fact, your presence is so glorious that we are also becoming sanctified by your presence. In fact, no one in this world can be put to any trouble by you. Your presence is only most wanted by everyone, the sages said. But they said, there is a brother of Ravana called as Kara. You know Kara and Dushan, the Kara. He comes and passes stool and urine in the Yajna Kunda. And he also pollutes the whole atmosphere here. They also make the sages their breakfast and lunch. They eat the saintly people. So seeing this, we thought that Chitrakoot is not a good place for us to be here. So we want to proceed ahead to the ashrama of Ashwa Muni. So we all are proceeding. If you wish, you may also come with us, they said. And Ram said, no, we will remain here. We like this place, Chitrakoot, very much. We will remain here only. You all can kindly proceed, he said. So they all proceeded. And Lord Ram was haunted by the remembrance of his dear brother Bharata. Because when he was living in Chitrakoot, he was seeing how Bharata was coming with Ayodhyavasis, how Bharata was crying, how Bharata was having, you know, Bharata had put that particular liquid from the plants which makes your hair matted. Huh? Bharata was also wearing matted locks of hair and wearing tree bark around his body, just like Ram, imitating Ram. Because Ram was wearing that, he was also wearing all that, out of love for Ram. Huh? And all those thoughts came to him. How Bharata came to offer him obeisances, and suddenly he stumbled and fell unconscious out of intense love for Ram. Huh? So Ram was constantly thinking of these things. Huh? And there were tears coming in his eyes. He thought that, no, this is no good place for me to live anymore. Huh? I have to go to some other place. And also he saw all the horses and elephants had put stool, which was bad smelling. Huh? He thought that better we move to another place. So they proceeded to a nearby forest where they came across the ashrama of Atri Muni. Huh? You know, Atri and Anasuya, huh? Very famous couple, huh? Great devotees, huh? Atri and Anasuya. So when they proceeded to the ashrama of Atri Muni, Atri Muni received them so warmly. Atri and Anasuya, they received them exactly like receiving their own children. Huh? Just like parents, how much they love their children. Huh? Like that they loved them. Huh? Warmly they welcomed them. And Atri called Anasuya to meet Sita. Hmm? And she met Sita while he met Ram and Lakshman. Huh? While talking to them. And Anasuya was telling Sita many, many valuable lessons, wonderful lessons. She was telling her that, you know, your husband Ram, you know, is now destined to live in the forest for 14 years. Huh? And it is nice that you are accompanying him. This is the duty of a chaste wife. She said, you know, those who are unchaste wives, their hearts are always filled with the desire for enjoying the different things of the world. And their mind sways them to run after different things of the world. They give up the husband when husband is in poverty. Or if husband is ignoble, they give up their husband. But she said the duty of a chaste wife is to always serve the husband at all times. She should make the husband like a deity, she said. Make the husband exactly like a deity and worship him and serve him and accepting him as the ultimate shelter. And she will attain the supreme fortune after death when she leaves the body. And many things she said like that. And Sita, after hearing this, you know what she said? She said, my dear mother, Anasuya, when I was coming to forest, my Ram's mother Kaushalya, my mother-in-law, she taught me the same things what you taught me now. The very same lessons. In fact, prior to hearing from her, I learned these lessons from my mother also, before my marriage. And now I'm hearing the same thing from you for the third time. And I feel great joy in hearing this from an exemplary woman like you. Because you are a personification of, you know, asceticism and austerities, and you are faithfully serving your husband at the same time practicing spirituality. So I am very pleased to hear these things from you, she said. In fact, she said the same thing. Even if the husband is ignoble and poverty stricken, and if providence doesn't favor him, he is in a state of misfortune, still the wife should serve the husband. I agree with you, it's very true. And then she said, what is because of Lord Rama, she said, who is endowed with so many virtues, like all excellences in one person, Ram. One who has controlled his senses. One whose mind is always set on the path of righteousness. One whose love is constant. And one whose love exceeds the love of the mother and father. How can one not love and serve such a personality? She said. So these are the qualities of Ram, she said, which the husbands can take note of. Not only here, the talk is coming about the qualities of a woman, how she should faithfully serve the wife, serve the husband. But the husband also requires certain qualities. Like these are the qualities that are said. What are the qualities? She said, one who is full in all the excellences. One who has controlled his senses. One whose mind is set in the path of righteousness. And one whose love is constant, even in the midst of different ups and downs in life. And ones whose love exceeds that of the mother and father, she said. These are the qualities of an ideal husband. So, Ram possessed these qualities. And she said, how I can be separated from Brahm even for a moment. I will always be with him in all kinds of situations, she was telling. So she became, Anastasia became so happy. She said, of all the ascetic merits that I have earned, I want to offer you some gifts. So take whatever gifts you want, please tell me, whatever benedictions you want. Sita said, the company of a woman like you itself is a benediction, she said. The company of a saintly woman like you itself is a great benediction for me, she said. What more can I ask you? But then Anastasia said, no, I want to offer you a lot of gifts. And then she gave her a lot of cosmetics and a lot of ornaments and a lot of jewelry, a lot of dresses, lots of it. She offered gifts. And Sita accepted all of them. And Ram and Lakshman were talking. They were thinking that Sita will not accept them, because in the forest, she's not supposed to wear all of that. So she kept all of that. Lakshman was already carrying, you know, bows and arrows and swords and shields and a lot of other weapons with him. And Sita said, please kindly take this also, all these things. And Lakshman was wondering, my dear mother, you are living in the forest for 14 years and I don't think you are going to wear any of this. Are you going to? He asked. She said, no, I am not going to wear them during my forest journey, but you can keep them with you when I go home. After 14 years I can wear them, you know. She said. So it is said, women always like to carry things which they don't use many times. More than what they... So this I heard from Atmatata Prabhu, who was speaking about it in Mayapur. He was telling this. Of course, they like to have a lot of things, including Mother Sita also, he was telling. So, in this way you find Sita talking, glorifying the qualities of woman and also glorifying the qualities of a capable husband. Both. So many lessons to be learned. So many lessons. Actually, this was not what I was intending to speak in the morning today. Till now what I spoke. This I spoke helplessly because I liked it very much, so I spoke it. So what I wanted to speak was something different, some very valuable lesson in all of our lives, which is the nature of friendship that we learn from Ramayana. It's very important for devotees to learn about the aspect of friendship in spiritual life. Why? Because we have many foolish ideas and notions about what is friendship. Generally we think a friend means one who constantly gratifies my senses. He is my friend. Enemy means one who hurts my ego. He is my enemy. One who puts sand in my sense gratification. He is my enemy. This is one of the notions that we have generally. Another idea we have about friendship is, a friend is one with whom we never have any quarrel, one who is always talking sweetly, one who always is pleasing to our ears, whatever we want to hear, he speaks. And there can be no quarrel between the two. That is friendship. We generally think like that. And we also think a friend means one who should never have any lack of trust for me. A friend means one who never has any doubts about me. A friend who has complete faith in me every day, all day. That is a friend. That's what we think. And besides this, we have a lot of expectations from friends. More than what we offer them in return. So, in Ramayana, all these ideas are smashed to dust when he talks about friendship. So, we will speak some pastimes in connection to this. So, then we get a good idea about friendship. And how will it help us in our life? It will help us because when we try to make friendship with devotees, when we have a sound understanding of what is the meaning of friendship, then we can make proper friendship with our devotee friends. I will just take one section of Ramayana, when Ram and Lakshman, they both were proceeding in, Sita, they were proceeding in the forest. At one time they come across one Rakshasa called as Kabanda. And Kabanda has the long stretched hands, you know. And his head is sunk into his trunk of the body. And his mouth is in the stomach, you know. We are not going to talk about the pastime. But after killing Kabanda, Kabanda rises from the dead body into a very beautiful celestial being. And then he reveals to Ram how he can find Sita. So he tells him that as you proceed in your journey, you will come across one Sugriva, with whom you can make friendship. And the Sugriva will be revealing to you the further truths about Sita you can get. So Ram thanks him and then he proceeds further. So when they come to Kishkindha Kshetra, there at a long distance, Ram, Lakshman, Sita, they are coming. At that time, Sugriva was in the mountains along with some of his ministers and others, some of his friends. And he's watching. And when he sees this well-built Kshatriyas, Ram and Lakshman, he becomes extremely afraid. He thinks that they are the associates of Vali. Thinking like that, he becomes very restless. He runs here and there and then he enters into the ashram of Matanga Rishi. In whose ashram there is a magic spell that no one can enter inside. And Sugriva will be given protection there. So he enters inside along with Hanuman and two, three other associates. And then inside also he is very, very restless. His mind is very restless. He becomes very fearful. He comes out. Again he jumps from one mountain to another mountain. So Hanuman tells him, please don't be so restless. Why are you so much afraid? In fact, you always come to wrong conclusions, which after proper consideration and analysis, it's proved to be false. So Sugriva told him, at any case, better you go before they come closer to us. Hanuman, you go there and find out who those two powerful personalities are. Even if they are not associates of Vali, they seem to be indefeatable. They seem to be very powerful and lustrous. Find out, are they some demigods descended from the heaven? Are they some associates of Vali coming in disguise? Who are they and what do they want to do with me? So please kindly find out. And then you praise about me to them and see how they respond. Not only hear their words, but see their expressions also. Be very careful. Be attentive. And he said all that. And he sent Hanuman. So the story goes on, how Hanuman goes and introduces himself and introduces Sugriva and everything. And Ram, Lakshman, they tell about Kabandha and everything. They say that we have come here to make friendship with Sugriva. When they say that, then Hanuman becomes happy and he brings them to Sugriva. So, when they are brought to Sugriva, then they are introduced to Sugriva also. And Sugriva is introduced to them. And Sugriva and Ram become friends. How they become friends? It is said, fire sacrifice is made there. And Ram and Sugriva, they both circumambulate the fire sacrifice. And then Ram embraces Sugriva. And then Sugriva tells Ram, my dear Ram, from this day on, your happiness shall be my happiness. And your sorrow will be my sorrow. This is the meaning of friendship. Your happiness will be my happiness. Your sorrow shall be my sorrow, he says. So, friendship means commitment. Here you find the commitment is not just verbal. The commitment is not just mental. But the commitment is done with a yajna also. With a fire sacrifice. Where they both promise to each other. They catch each other's hands. And they are making this friendship, firm friendship. And Sugriva gave a flower, a beautiful branch of a tree with flowers, laden with flowers. He gave him to sit. And Hanuman gave similar one to Lakshman to sit. And then they also sat firmly in one place. And then Sugriva related his life's incidents to Ram. Briefly he told him that I am living in this place out of great fear of my brother Vali. Anytime he will kill me. And Vali has taken away my wife. And I am bereft of my kingdom, bereft of my wife. I am living in this place. This is my plight, Ram, he said. And Ram assured him, do not worry. And then Ram says, service is the real fruit of friendship, he said. Service is the real fruit of friendship. He says, his friend means one should be in a mood of service, not in a mood of exploiting the other. Not in a mood of taking from the other, but one should be in a mood of giving. Of course, when you give, you will also get. But you don't expect. When you give, you get also. But that is not expected. Like for example, the mother, when she's serving the small child, ideally speaking, she is not supposed to think in her mind, when this boy grows up, he will take care of me. She is not supposed to think. She is supposed to think, let me selflessly serve the child. But the child will grow up into a youth and then he will come to a stage where he will take care of his mother and father. There's no doubt about it. But she should not expect it, ideally speaking. It's supposed to be a selfless relationship. Similarly, Ram is saying here, service is the real fruit of friendship. So, my dear Sugriva, I consider it my duty to dispose Vali and to assist you in regaining your kingdom and wife. And when Ram said it, Sugriva also said back. Sugriva also asked about Ram's whereabouts and what happened to Ram. Then Ram explained to him what all happened in the forest and everything. And Sugriva immediately said, wait a minute, now I remember very well. When I was sitting atop the hill, I saw one Rakshasa passing through the Akash Marg, and he was carrying a woman. And that woman was wailing. I saw her. And she took her cloth, and she took all her ornaments and put in the cloth, and she dropped it from there. And it dropped very close to us. So we picked it all up and we kept with us. And even today we have it with us. Would you like to see? And Rama was very, very eager to see. Then Sugriva went into his cave and brought the jewelry and the cloth and everything out. And Lord Ram saw, immediately could recognize it was all Sita's only, all the ornaments. Oh, my dear darling, oh, my dear Sita, my dear beloved one. Ram started weeping torrents of tears. He fell unconscious seeing that. Then he got up and he showed to Lakshman. My dear Lakshman, do you see? These are all ornaments of Sita. And Lakshman saw all of them. He said, sorry, I cannot recognize any of them except one. The only one I can recognize is the ankle belts that she wears in her lotus feet of Sita. That's the only one I can recognize. Because every morning I offer her Dandavat Pranam, obeisances to Sita, mother. And I have never seen her beyond that. So Lakshman recognized that. And then Ram was very happy. Then he asked for more information. Please tell me more. Sugriva said, sorry, I do not know anything about this Ravana. I only got to see him passing by. But then he took a vow, Sugriva. As a friend, it is my vow to help you recover Sita. Wherever she is, my dear Ram, even if she is in heaven, she is in hell, she is in the earth, anywhere, wherever she is, I will find out. And then you will find Sugriva talking about, you know, when he is sending in all his soldiers, it's not that, you know, Sugriva is just saying that, you know, even if she is in heaven or in Netherlands or in earth, I will get her. Sugriva was a very, very, very knowledgeable person about the whole universe. When he is sending all the army, you know, he was telling about one group of army. He was sending this Angada in one direction south, you know, and he was sending Nila in one direction, you know, all of them in different directions. So he was telling them, when you go to north, you should go up to Meru Parvat, and beyond that you will find this, you know, salty ocean, and beyond that you will find. He's telling everything that is there in the north side. Similarly, everything in east side, west side, and south side in great detail. After which, Lord Rama confidentially asked Sugriva, my dear Sugriva, you seem to have a very sound knowledge of geography of the whole universe. Who taught you geography of the universe so much? You know, because he's telling the monkey soldiers that beyond that zone, don't go. Beyond the zone where Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva, they live, and beyond that you cannot go, because no one knows what exists beyond. Similarly in the south, similarly in the east, similarly in the west, he's telling everything about Jambudvip, all the things that you hear in the fifth canto, he's telling. So then Sugriva told him, when my brother Vali chased me, I went to all these places. So I know very well. I wanted to find out some shelter somewhere. So I had wandered all around. Now I have become expert in geography after wandering around. So in this way, Sugriva did not give an empty promise to his friend. This is another important thing. Don't give an empty promise. Don't say just for sentimentally that, you know, even if she is in heaven or in hell, anywhere in the universe, I will get her. No. First of all, we have to have the capability also. Without the capability, we should not just... like Krishna told Satyabhama that, you know, I will get you Parijata from the heaven. And he did it also. Not that he said, and she asked, where is it now? Sir, I don't know how to go to heaven. You know, he didn't say like that. So we should not make empty promises. So Sugriva also made a promise to his friend. And... after this, Ram again and again started seeing the jewelry of Sita and started lamenting. Oh Sita, I don't think I can maintain my life without you. And then he started mourning about Sita's activities and remembering her. And When Sugriva saw that, he pacified Lord Ram. So he was telling him, a person can never become happy simply by grieving Ram. Indeed, sorrow diminishes one's strength. Although I am a foolish monkey, and I am also in a similar situation as you, having lost my wife, I don't lament as much as you do. Who told this? Sugriva is telling to Ram, Ram, I also have lost my wife, you have lost your wife, but I am not lamenting as you are lamenting. Because lamentation is useless, worry is useless, he said. Simply by worrying, you only lose your strength, you only lose your confidence. And worry will not do anything to you. So here also comes the important aspect in friendship. A friend is one who is able to give us such type of moral support, especially at that dire time of dire need. Like for example, sometimes people feel inferiority complex in life, or they feel some depression, or they feel some lack of confidence. They suddenly feel some kind of fear and insecurity, whether I'll be able to survive in this world, whether I'll be able to survive in this competitive world. Sometimes they compare themselves with others, and sometimes they feel some kind of secret fear in the mind. And in such occasions, a friend is supposed to come to help. Here you find Ram is in a state of depression, transcendental depression, because of loss of Sita. And Sugriva is pacifying him. And do not worry. I am also in a similar situation like you, and is giving him hope. And Ram becomes immediately pacified by the friendly talk of Sugriva. And he again regained confidence and he became happy and cheerful. And then Ram was curious to know, please tell me, Sugriva, how did you develop enmity with a brother? Because brothers are supposed to be very intimately united, generally speaking. But how did you develop enmity with Vali? And then Sugriva narrated the pastime, and narrated the event of how, although Vali and Sugriva were very dear brothers, at one time how the enmity developed because of misunderstanding. Now we are talking of a story of friendship inside friendship. So we were talking about the friendship between Ram and Sugriva. Now we are going to talk about the friendship between two brothers, Vali and Sugriva. How sometimes misunderstandings can creep in friendship. So at one time, Mayadhanava's son, his name is Mayavi. There was a son of Mayadhanava called as Mayavi. He had a great terrible fight with Vali because they both wanted the same woman. They were having a terrible fight. So that fight went on and on for a long time. And Vali chased after him, Mayavi ran, and Vali chased after him more and more. At one time, Mayavi entered into some cave. So Vali also entered into the cave. And of course, Sugriva had also run along with Vali. But Vali told him, he posted him at the entrance of the cave and told him, be here, I'll come back. And then he went inside. A terrible fight ensued between them for a long, long time, for a very long period. After which, at one time, Sugriva heard loud cries of the demons inside. And he didn't hear any sound of Vali at all. So he thought that probably my brother is killed. And now the demons will come out and they will kill me also. So thinking like that, he saw a lot of blood oozing out. And immediately he picked up a big boulder and closed the cave of the mountain. And then he went back and told all the ministers and all the praja what happened. And all of them said, now Sugriva, somebody has to rule the kingdom. So we would post you as the next king. So they posted him as the next king. And Sugriva accepted the rule. And he was ruling the kingdom. And he also offered waters for the dead brother. Just like you offer the waters after someone dies. He did all that. Honestly, he had no other any wrong intention in the mind. And later on, Vali returned back. He became wild. He came to Sugriva. When Sugriva saw Vali, he said, oh brother, I never knew that you are alive. Immediately he took his crown and kept it at the feet of his brother and offered obeisances and said, actually, I thought that you are dead. And Vali said, what nonsense are you talking? Call all the citizens. Then all citizens were called, all the prominent ministers were called. And Vali said, I was fighting with Mayavi. And the Mayavi and the other demons. And when I killed many of them, the blood started swelling in size. So much so that it started blocking the whole cave. Huh? And I couldn't come out. When I came near the entrance of the cave, it was closed with a boulder. I shouted Sugriva's name again and again. Open the door, open the door. He wasn't opening. Then I understood this fellow has become cunning. He wants me to die and he wants to become the next king. So with a great vigor, I pounded the rock at the entrance, the door, and then it opened. And I came out with great difficulty. And now I am seeing that this fellow has become a self-made king. What a fool he is. And he said, now I will not spare his life. So Vali took his wife of Sugriva, Ruma, and he also took the kingdom back. And he told all the citizens that I am going to rule back the kingdom. And Sugriva, along with some of his ministers, whom he thought were against Vali, he drove them out. And he actually wanted to kill Vali, wanted to kill Sugriva also. He chased him, and Sugriva, that is the time Sugriva ran. He told his brother, please hear me, kindly understand. I had no intention to take your post at all. I never wanted to be the king. Now also I will faithfully serve you as your brother. But Vali was not paying any heed. See, this is one problem in misunderstanding. When there is a misunderstanding between two friends, so it is said, first seek to understand, then seek to be understood, it is said. First seek to understand, then seek to be understood. But what happens in friendship, both the parties try to make the other party understand him. They didn't want to hear at all. Now, Vali did not want to hear anything from Sugriva at all. He had developed such a solid misunderstanding. So he just wanted to kill Sugriva at any cost. And Sugriva ran all around, here and there, all over. At last, he took shelter of the Matangarishi's ashram. And Lord Ram asked, how is it that you are saved in Matangarishi's ashram? He said, this is a special place for me. There is a magic spell here and Vali cannot come here. He cannot come and kill me, so I am protected. So Lord Ram heard this. He said, very nice, now at least you are protected here. But I can assure you, don't worry. I will get back your wife and I will get back your kingdom and I will destroy Vali. Do not worry. This very day, you can go for a battle with Vali and I will kill. At this point of time, you find Sugriva became a little doubtful about the capability of Ram in killing Vali. So he honestly expressed the doubt. So Lakshman was the one who detected it first. Lakshman saw that it seems that you don't have full faith that Ram can kill Vali. And Sugriva said, yes. Because Vali is not an ordinary person. You know, what kind of person is Vali? Something out of context I'll tell you about Vali. Once when Ravana heard about Vali's prowess, he heard that there is somebody called Vali, he is the son of Indra, he is extremely powerful. And also one of his special capabilities is that if somebody comes in front of him, he gets double their strength. So when Ravana heard it, he became afraid. He said, besides me, no one should be there in this world who is equal to me or more powerful than me. I will surely destroy him. Keeping this in mind, Ravana went in search of Vali. So what would this Vali do? Of course, Vali had enmity with Sugriva, as I told you. And Sugriva was living in Matangarishi's ashram. And Vali would every day go to Chardham Yatra. Chardham Yatra means all the four dhams in the same day. Can you imagine? Like sometimes we go once in a lifetime, we go for Chardham Yatra. He was going every day. He would go to Rameshwaram, come back to Kishkindha. But before going to Rameshwaram, he would go over the Rishimukhi mountains, the Matangamuni's ashram. He would go there and Sugriva would be walking outside and he'd go and kick him on the forehead of Sugriva with his leg. And then he would fly to Rameshwaram. And then he would come back to Kishkindha, again give one more kick and then go back to his palace. So in this way, Sugriva would get 8 kicks every day. Can you imagine? Every day, regularly. And what was Vali doing? When Vali would go to Rameshwaram, he would worship Shaligram Shila there. And then he'd come back and give a kick. As Prabhupada says here in the material world, everyone is envious of someone else. Even in religious life, it is sometimes found
that if one devotee has advanced in spiritual activities, other devotees are envious of him. Such envious devotees are not completely freed from bondage of birth and death, he says. So, he was doing a religious activity of worshipping Shaligram Chela, but he was also accompanying it with, you know, kicking his brother, Sugriva, without any mercy. So, this was going on for a long time. One day, Hanuman observed it. Actually, Sugriva was not even complaining. He was tolerating. But one day, Hanuman observed it. And Hanuman is also very powerful, isn't it? So, one day when Vali was doing the same thing, when he was kicking in between one of the times, immediately Hanuman caught hold of his hips. Hanuman flew up and he caught hold of his hips and started dragging Vali down to the ground. And Vali started dragging himself up. And both were like two vectors equal in magnitude and opposite in direction. Like that. They were trying to pull each other. And Vali was asking Hanuman, Hanuman, what happened to you today? Why are you pulling me to the ground? Because if I touch the ground, my head will explode into 10,000 pieces, according to the curse of the Rishi. Why do you want to kill me? Then Hanuman said, then why do you want to insult your brother like this every day? So, unless you promise me that you will never do this to your brother ever again, I will not leave you, Hanuman said. And that was the time Vali spared his brother Sugriva. And never after he kicked him. But Ravana, when he came to know Vali's power, so he came to Kishkindha. So, Ravana thought, I will trick Vali. What he did, he went behind, slowly, you know, creeping behind. And then he thought, I will catch hold of his tail, and then whirl him, and smash him to the ground and kill him. That was his idea. Something like what Balaram did with Dhenukasura, you know. Something like that, catching the hind legs. Like that Ravana had planned. So he went behind and caught hold of Vali's tail. But as soon as he caught the tail, instead of he catching the tail encircled around his body. Around Ravana's body. All around. Ravana was wondering himself, you know, caught in the tail. And then Vali started flying for Charadham Yatra, you know. He went to Rameshwaram, he went to this, and one by one he was going. And all through this, Ravana was behind. On the tail of Ravana. And all the celestials like Gandharvas, Charanas, you know, Vidyadharas and all the devatas are all watching from the sky. And they were all ridiculing and laughing. And Ravana was screaming. He was screaming like anything. He was shouting, Vali, please hear me. I have something to say. But Vali didn't pay any heed. He said, my puja is very important now. Just finish all my puja. He did all his puja all day. And then evening, Vali wanted to know who that fellow. He didn't even see who it is. Then he brought the tail down the front. And then he saw, who are you? And Ravana with 10 heads and 20 arms. He never saying, I am Ravana. And Vali thought, oh, you look like a very nice toy for my boy Angada. So Angada was in a cradle in those days. He was a small boy. So he put him like the toy which the parents hang, you know. So Ravana was hanging like this. So that Angada can enjoy that 10-headed toy. So this was the power of Vali, can you imagine? Vali was extremely powerful. And Sugriva was telling Ram, my dear Ram, it's nice that you have a desire to kill Vali. You are claiming that you can do. But let me tell you, in those days, there was a very, very powerful bull. His name was Dundubi. This Dundubi is not a bull, it's a buffalo. Dundubi buffalo. Huge buffalo. And this Dundubi, he went to the Samudra and he challenged the ocean, mighty ocean, to come for a fight with him. So Samudra Raj came out with folded palms. He said, I am not expert at fighting. I don't want to fight with you. If you really want to fight, go to Himavan. Himavan is the Himalayas. The presiding deity of Himalayas is Himavan, father of Parvati. And he is very powerful. You can see Meru, how powerful is Meru. So you go to Himavan. Maybe he will fight with you. So then this Dundubi buffalo, he went there to Himavan and he loudly gave a call to Himavan. Come out. If you have the guts, come and fight with me. And Himavan came out and with folded palms, he said, he was standing on the top of a mountain and he said, you see, this Himalayas is a place of sages and saints who are equipoised in their mind. And I give shelter to those saintly people. So I also have become saintly because of this. And I am not very spirited for fighting. If you really want to fight, you better go to Vali.
he may be a nice combat for you, huh? He said. And then this buffalo was sniffing and he really wanted to fight with someone. Huh? So he went to Kishkindha Chetra. He went to the palace of Wali and loudly shouted, huh? Calling him for a fight. Huh? And Wali came out. Huh? And then Wali caught hold of his leg and he beat him to the ground several times. Pat, 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 pat. So many times that the buffalo started, you know, releasing so much of blood from the mouth and the ears and the eyes and all these places. It became like a big mass of flesh. Huh? And Wali threw him with a great force, some 4 miles distance. Huh? So when he threw 4 miles distance that time, there was blood sprinkling from his body which fell in the ashrama of Matangrishi. Huh? And Matangrishi thought, who is that stupid fellow who has done this? He became very angry. Huh? And then he came to know that Wali did. And Wali went there to seek forgiveness. But Matangrishi wouldn't hear him at all. Huh? Here is another example of misunderstanding which comes from not hearing at all. Huh? Sometimes, like, you know, we are going with our bag in the train. When you're walking, some people, while walking with the bag, they hit so many people. Pat, pat. Huh? And those people become wild. Huh? Sometimes they catch the bag. You've seen that? They will not let him proceed ahead. And you may say, sorry, sorry, I didn't see it or something. Similarly, sometimes you climb up on the berth. You know, you want to go to the berth. While climbing, you keep one leg on the rod and another leg on someone's shoulder, you know. That fellow shouts, hey, what are you doing? Huh? So, immediately you should touch his shoulder and touch your head. It happened with me yesterday, just yesterday. I was climbing to the berth. While climbing, when I kept the foot like this, my end of the foot touched the person's shoulder. And immediately I could see his face was so furious. He was so angry. I knew that he was going to shout now. Immediately I jumped down and I touched his shoulder and touched my head. And then he smiled. He said, no problem. Very good. You have become humble now. Yeah, it's better to become humble. You know. So, similarly, this fellow was throwing the body of, you know, Dundubi so far, 4 miles. But then by mistake it fell. So Wali would have cleaned up the ashram for Matangrishi. But Matangrishi wouldn't hear at all. Matangrishi pronounced a curse. He said, Wali, if you ever come to this ashram, your head will crack into 10,000 pieces. And if any of your assistants you send here, they will all become statues. Like that he cursed. So Sugriva was telling, my dear Ram, that is the only reason because of which I am here now. I am protected in this place. Wali cannot come here. And then he said, just see that bone which you are seeing here, huge bone of the Dundubi. And he said, I would like to see whether Ram is able to lift this bone and throw it. At least 200 lengths of the bows. That much distance if he is able to throw it. I would consider Ram sufficiently powerful. Just like we have the javelin throwing, you know, in the sports we have. How much far you can throw it. So Ram went there, he took the bone and he threw it some 200 miles, he threw it. Not just 80 bow length, but 200 miles he threw it. So powerful. And Sugriva was slightly satisfied, not fully satisfied. He said, now you see, it's only the bones. But that time when my brother threw it, it was also so much of flesh, it was too heavy. Now you've thrown the bone, it's all right. But then I would like to also check one more thing. He said, you see these huge trees? You know, Wali had the ability to, you know, poke them with his arrows. Put a hole in them. And Lord Ram also took his bow and arrow and he poked 7 trees, holes into 7 trees. And then the arrow went to the Patal and other places and after 1 hour came back into the quiver of Ram. Again, this time Sugriva was convinced. He fell at the feet of Ram and said, now I am convinced that you can do impossible things you can do, my dear Ram. So here, in this example we find, to have doubts about the capability of a friend should not be seen as enmity. Now Ram is a supreme personality of Godhead. And who can challenge his prowess? Nobody can talk ill of his prowess. But here is his friend Sugriva saying that, I am sorry, I don't know whether you are capable. Sometimes even we do that amongst devotees. Sometimes you tell a devotee that, Prabhu, I am sorry, I am little doubtful whether you have this capability. Immediately devotee becomes offended.
What do you think about me?
You know, you don't know who I am. If somebody in companies and all nowadays, one of the most serious problems is lack of competence. This lack of competence kills people inside the heart. So, anybody talk, you talk about competence, as soon as you talk about competence, the ego becomes hurt for anyone. Imagine, for example, if somebody, like, you know, I had gone to a temple, one of the temple devotee boys, you know, he was asking me, Prabhupada, which temple you come from? He asked me. I said, I come from Pune temple. Oh, you are from Pune temple. I know in Pune temple, there is one youth preacher, you know, Radhesham Das. You know, I said, yeah, I know him, I said. And he said, Prabhuji, we read his books and all, we do the courses here, you know. When you go back, can you invite him? I said, he's very busy, but I'll invite him still, you know. I said, if he gets time, he may come. I said, yes, Prabhuji, but at least I want, you know, when I go to Pune, I want to take autograph from him in my DYS book and all that he was selling. And then, actually, this boy was put for taking care of my prasad when I had gone to the temple. So he came and brought me prasad, and he would go on talking. The next day morning, on the board, it was written, Radhesham Das will give Bhagavatam class. And this boy was jumping. He said, Prabhuji, you never told me that, you know, Radhesham Prabhu is going to come here to our temple. His name is put up for tomorrow, I said. I said, oh, maybe he's going to give tomorrow. I don't know, I said. And next day morning, when the Bhagavatam came, I went and sat there. And this fellow just entered the temple hall. He was like that, he was taking a breath. He was like this, you know. He was jumping backward. He was about to faint, you know. So, anyway, throughout the class, he was sitting looking here and there. And then after the class was over, then he came to me. Are you Radhesham Das? He asked me. I said, yes. You never told me. I was serving you and all. You never told me. I said, I thought there is no need. If there was need, I would have told you. No. I told him. Anyway, why I was telling this point, when I was talking to this boy, they are also preaching to youth in the evening. And this boy said, we also have started youth preaching, and he was telling, and I have a lot of strategies. Would you like to hear? He asked me. And I had noted down all the strategies that he was doing. Some 8 or 10 strategies they are using there. So when he was telling the strategies, I was nodding the head, but he said, note down. He said, note down. You can also apply. You know. You can ask Radhesham what he feels about this. And I was saying, I was noting the. So next day he said, but you never, why did you note down all this? I said, we can hear from anyone. Because, you know, what is that verse? Chanakya says, you know, Nichadapi Uttamam Jnanam, he says. We can even, Stri Shudushkuladapi, he says, one can, Vishadapi Amritam Grahyam. He says that, you know, one can get even nectar from a stock of poison. Or you can even get knowledge from somebody who is apparently junior to you. If they possess some good knowledge, you can always get. There's no reason for us not to accept. So, generally, if somebody talks to you in your own field and they want to give you some advice, or if somebody talks to you doubting your competence in that field, we get hurt. And that too, if a very dear friend or somebody very close to us does it, that causes the most severe pain to us. Now, why didn't you trust me? Why do you think of me like this? You don't know I can do this? How can you have a doubt about me like this? Correct? It causes us very, very severe pain, as if somebody is piercing our chest with an arrow. It looks like that for us. So here we find Sugriva doubted Ram, and Ram, how did he take it? Ram never felt bad at all. Ram was ready to display his prowess. He had the competence, he showed it, and Sugriva became convinced, and the story ended there, isn't it? So there is no, if one wants friendship, there will be ups and downs in friendship. That's what we understand. Friendship is not flat. Friendship means it is sometimes joy, sometimes sorrow, sometimes doubt, sometimes faith. This kind of things will be there in friendship. This is fine. So, and then, after Sugriva is convinced, then Sugriva says, okay, now I am sure that you will be able to kill Vali. I am proceeding ahead. So tell me what I should do. And Ram said, you go and give a call for Vali to come out and have a terrible fight with you. In the fight, we will hide behind a tree and we will kill Vali. And then Sugriva gave a loud call, and Vali was surprised. Eh? This fellow is giving me a call for a fight. I'll finish him this very day and send him to the court of Yamaraj.
he came out running. No. There was a terrible fight, huh, between the two. Huh? And Vali and Sugriva, they were looking exactly alike. Huh? And Lord Rama was not killing at all. Sugriva was wondering, what is this? I'm getting weaker and weaker. Huh? Ram is not hitting Vali. Huh? Again, doubts crept in his mind. Ram has cheated me. Huh? He has betrayed me. Huh? Just see. Huh? He thought like that. And now Sugriva had to run for his life practically. Vali chased after him. And after going to Matangrishi's ashram, and then when Ram Lakshman also arrived there, Sugriva said, what Ram, what have you done? And Ram said, I could not recognize who is who. Both of you looked alike. See, Lord Ram is the supreme. For him there is no difficulty in recognizing every living entity. He is in the heart of everyone. But he performs such pastimes to increase the sweetness of the pastime. So, Sugriva said, again I am even afraid to go and fight. This time you will surely kill Vali or not? Again, don't do the same thing. This time if you do it, Vali will not spare me. He will kill me. And Ram said, no, this time surely we will kill Vali. Don't worry. Again, Sugriva put trust in Ram. You see? Ram committed a mistake once, apparently, by not killing Vali and doing the needful. And Sugriva lost trust, but again he put trust. Friendship means to again rebuild trust. Because if one is adamantly going to stick onto the platform of loss of trust, there is no possibility of development of friendship at all. There were so many opportunities for the relationship to break between Sugriva and Ram, but the relationship never broke. You find that. It goes to a point where it is about to be broken, again it is reinstated. You find. Like you see, Sugriva is thinking, okay, this time Ram will kill Vali. Somehow he develops this trust and he goes for the battle. This time he tells him, you wear a garland and go. He is wearing a garland and Vali has no garland. So Ram knows who is who now, And Ram is behind. And then when he is giving a call to Vali, now Tara, Vali's wife, tells him, wait a minute, my dear husband, please do not go for this battle. Why? Because this Sugriva, he was already thoroughly defeated by you. How is it that he has come for the second time? If he is calling you for the second time, he has got some very solid ally with him, who is giving him that type of support because which he is calling you. And she said, I don't think otherwise he will call you. And she said, please do not go now. But Vali was overpowered by anger. See, in anger one becomes blind. One loses temper, one loses all control. And this time Vali said, I will not return back home without finishing him. Then Vali came out, and the fight ensued between them. And then Rama, as promised, he kept his promise this time. He hid behind the bushes and he hit Vali. So as soon as he hit Vali, Vali fell to the ground. Vali was wondering, where did this arrow come from? He was holding the arrow first. And then he pulled the arrow. He tried to see the name of Rama was inscribed in that. Immediately Ram and Lakshman, they came out of the bushes. Sugriva also came. And all the other relatives, friends, everyone surrounded there. And Vali said, my dear Ram, I thought you are a personification of all virtues. How is it that you have behaved so immorally? I am not your enemy. I am Sugriva's enemy. I was not fighting with you. While I am fighting with another, how could you hit an arrow on me? And he said, now I have understood that you are like a well that is covered with weeds. Superficially, it looks like a very nice green, but inside it is a hollow well that swallows a person. Similarly, you have shown that you are empty of virtues, and this is that he was blaspheming Ram. So for Ram's part, Ram gave the answer. Ram said, my dear Vali, it is only out of ignorance you are speaking such things. Let me tell you the truth. He said, the whole earth is ruled by Ikshvaku and his followers, the kings in the Kshatriya dynasty, and I come in the same dynasty. And the whole earth belongs to Ikshvaku. And we are supposed to see that the truth is upheld everywhere, all around the earth. And anywhere we find anyone mishandles another man's wife, like you have done in your case, you deserve to be punished. And we are representatives of Ikshvaku, and we are supposed to punish such people. So I have punished you. And
we also have the right to kill animals in the forest. If you claim yourself a monkey, who is, you may say that I am ignorant, I don't know the rules and regulations of human beings, you may say. Then in that case you are a monkey, so we can be on a hideout and we can kill a monkey. Just like a hunter may kill an inattentive deer. You may kill. Similarly, I can kill you as you are a monkey. But if you claim that you are wise, you know the laws of Kshatriya codes, and you know the laws of mankind, then you are a follower of Manu, you are a Manushya. If you claim to be so, then you are not allowed to touch another man's wife. So my killing you is justified. Mm-hmm. In either case. So Lord Ram spoke to him. And immediately Vali completely surrendered to Ram. Mm-hmm. He said, my dear Ram, it was only my blunder. It's my mistake. Huh? And you are not at all at fault. Huh? You are the most merciful. You are most compassionate by killing me, by offering this. Vali actually surrendered like that. He even called Sugriva and sought forgiveness from him. Huh? And he requested Ram to give protection to his son Angada. Huh? And all that he did, and then he left his body after that. So now Lord Ram told Hanuman to coronate Sugriva as the next king. And he told Angada, you become assistant to Sugriva and you will also be protected. And then Sugriva was very happy and he got his wife Ruma back. And some people ask, how can Sugriva enjoy Tara, who is also wife of Vali? But actually Tara also marries Sugriva after the passing away of Vali to have some shelter. She marries him also, because that comes in the later part, you will find. So now Sugriva is very satisfied that Ram has fulfilled his promise. So he is a friend, he made a promise and he has fulfilled the promise. That he has given his wife back, he has given the kingdom back. And Sugriva is satisfied. Now Sugriva tells Ram that I am supposed to help you, but then the rainy season starts. And Ram says, now it's rainy season. Let the rainy season come to pass. Then we can take your help in going for a search for Sita. And then Ram lives in Kishkindha only, in a certain place in the mountainous region near the Rishimukha mountains. There's a place even today. There's a beautiful temple there. You'll see tall Ram, you know. Tall Lakshman, beautiful deities there. If you go to Hampi, Rishimukha mountains, near that you find that temple there. So that's the place where Lord Ram was doing his Chaturmas period. So he was doing that, and once the rainy season passed, the autumn season set in. Autumn means the sun starts shining, the fresh air is blowing, there are no rains, the sky is clear, the air is crisp and cool. The ground is very firm and all activity starts. In the Vedic times, in the Chaturmas period, saintly people would not travel at all. They would stay at one place and just study the Shastra and discuss the Shastras. So nobody would travel generally outside in the rainy season. So Ram thought that now it's high time. And 15 days had passed after the autumn had started, but absolutely no news from Sugriva. And Ram was thinking. He called Lakshman and said, my dear Lakshman, what happened to Sugriva? He has not, we have not heard anything from him. Probably in the intoxication of being the king, he is enjoying his life. So you should go to him and speak to him very strongly about his sense of duty. When Lakshman heard it, he said, this foolish monkey has forgotten his duty. This very day I will kill him, he said. Lord Ram told him, don't kill him, but go and remind him. Maybe when you remind him, he will come to his senses. He said, go and remind him. So Lakshman goes, taking his bow and arrow with an angry disposition. His lips are quivering, his eyes are reddish, and breathing heavily. Lakshman is walking into the Kishkindha Kshetra. Then all the monkeys, which are all guards which are standing there, different places, they all see Lakshman and they pick up some boulders in their hands, they pick up some uprooted trees and all that. But when Lakshman turns to them, immediately they drop everything and they ran out of fear. They all went to report. They went and reported to the ministers, and the ministers went to report to Sugriva, who was in the Antapur, in his own inner chambers, enjoying with Ruma, enjoying with Tara and all the other monkey female associates. So Lakshman goes there. As soon as he reached the gate, palace gates, standing there, immediately the ministers ran to inform. In the meantime, Angada had already gone. Angada went and bowed down to Sugriva and massaged his feet and said, my dear uncle, do you know who has come? Lakshman is waiting for you outside. But then Sugriva just turned around and slept on the other side. And he had drunk wine the whole night and his eyes were bloodshot. And he was very, very sleepy and dizzy. But then the ministers came and they all surrounded Sugriva and started loudly making sounds, shouting at the ears of the king, get up, Lakshman has come. And then he became very, very disturbed and he got up and sat. Why are you all shouting so much? What happened? He asked. And Hanuman reminded him, do you remember? He reminded him of his promise. You promised Ram that you will go to, you will make arrangement to get his wife Sita back. What happened to that? You have forgotten your promise. Now Lakshman has come, he's in an angry mood. So when Sugriva was hearing all these things, suddenly Lakshman twang his bow. Ta, 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 ta. That heard the sound. He immediately was shivering. The whole body trembled. Sugriva said, I don't want to go now. His whole body started trembling. He told Tara, maybe Tara, if you go in the front, maybe Lakshman's anger can be appeased. So Tara came out. So as soon as Hanuman saw Tara, immediately he put his head down. And Tara said, my dear Lakshman, please don't think that Sugriva has forgotten his duty. In fact, he has sent a message to millions of monkeys all around the universe that within 15 days they all should be summoned here. And those who don't come will be given a death sentence and all that. And you see, sometimes even the great sages and saints get lost in pleasures of sense gratification. What to speak of a uncontrolled monkey like Sugriva? Please kindly forgive him. So she sought forgiveness and Hanuman and Lakshman's anger became little cool. And then Sugriva came out. When Sugriva came out, Lakshman again became very angry. He said, my dear Sugriva, do you know in the Shastras there are prescriptions of expiation. Expiation means atonement. There is atonement for one who has killed a cow, or one who has killed a brahmana, one who has stolen some property. For all these things there is atonement. But there is no atonement given for an ungrateful person. Ungrateful person deserves to be killed, he said. And today if you don't come immediately and help Ram, I will send you to the court of Yamaraj this very day, he told them. So when Sugriva heard it, Sugriva said, my dear Lakshman, he took his garland and threw it on the simhasan. And then he bowed down to Lakshman and he said, actually I have not forgotten. I can tell you, I have partially done my duty of calling all the monkeys, but due to being absorbed in sense pleasures, I had totally forgotten my duty. Please forgive me. Right now I am coming with you. Please take me to Ram. And Ram is my master. I am his eternal servant. I will simply serve him. He said, take me. So Lakshman became very pleased. He took Sugriva to Ram. And the most interesting thing is, Lord Ram did not show even a sign of dissatisfaction when Sugriva went to him. He never shouted at Sugriva. He never reminded him of how he had forgotten and submerged in sense pleasures. Absolutely not. Ram embraced him and accepted him. So here comes another point here, a very important point, that Ram fulfilled his promise to Sugriva, but Sugriva did not fulfill his promise to Ram in the relationship. So the relationship became strained. Actually, Ram was also angry. Lakshman was angry also because Sugriva didn't fulfill the promise. Like when our friend doesn't fulfill his promise, we suddenly become angry. Who will not become angry? Anybody will become angry. But when again the fellow comes to his senses and agrees to fulfill his promise, sometimes a friend forgets. Oh, Prabhuji, you told me this yesterday, I totally forgot. If he has totally forgotten, it's a problem of the mind. But if he tries to cover it up, saying that, actually, I did this, I did that. If he's trying to cover it up, then it becomes mistake of the heart. When you know that he's trying to, like sometimes somebody makes a phone call and says, Prabhuji, can you convey this message to so-and-so? And we say, yes, I will do it. And then we forget it. And then again, That devotee comes running to you. Prabhuji, I heard that yesterday a very important call came for me. Why you didn't tell me? Now my mother is in great anxiety, father is in great anxiety, and we say, actually, Prabhuji, I told that devotee to tell you, or something. You may cheat sometimes. If you try to cheat, then the distance increases. But if you're honest, like Sugriva was very honest. He said, I'm sorry. I am a fool. I am your slave, actually. I am your servant, but I had forgotten. I was absorbed in my own world and all that. So again, that friendship was reinstated. Again, it was rebuilt. Again, and Ram became very happy. And then Sugriva called all the soldiers and proved to Ram how he had given his very best in sending out, monkey army in all the directions, in different directions. He showed to Ram. And Ram was very, very pleased by the efforts of Sugriva. And not only Sugriva sent them all out, he had told them that within this number of days, you have to get the message. Within 1 month, if you all don't come back, then you'll be killed, you'll be given punishment. Very severe punishments were there. And all of them were fully well-equipped, going in different directions. And Ram became very, very satisfied. So, we can continue this story further. We can, friendship of Ram and Sugriva. And can be taken ahead even to the time when they were in Lanka, Sri Lanka. There are many pastimes. But if you carry this theme, what I spoke now today, you can even dig out many, many more valuable lessons in the time to come. When Lord Ram goes with all the monkeys, one last pastime I would like to speak and conclude. As soon as they went to Lanka, when they are entering, immediately suddenly Ram found Sugriva had disappeared from the monkey army. What Sugriva had done, he had gone into the palace of Ravana and he had entered into the dressing chamber, dressing room. And Ravana was dressing himself with beautiful cosmetics and ornaments and jewelry and everything. So Sugriva became like a small mosquito-sized monkey. And he went round and round the head of, Ravana. And he was spitting on his way. Thoo, 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 thoo. He was spitting constantly. So Ravan was dressing and his Ravan's assistant was putting some cosmetics also. He was spraying it on his face. So Ravan could not make out difference whether it is spraying of cosmetics or somebody is spitting. He didn't know. But he suddenly got a doubt. So he just touched like this and smelled. Smelling, stinking. And he thought, what is this nonsense? He immediately told that assistant, hey, stop it, don't spray anymore. But without his spraying, still Thuk was coming. And then he found this thing was revolving around his head and he immediately caught that. He thought, what is this mosquito? He looked at him and he saw it was a tiny monkey. Such a tiny monkey? He was wondering. And the tiny monkey was saying, my name is Sugriva. Sometime ago, do you remember? Another monkey had visited you. What was his name? And Ravana said, yeah, Hanuman. He said, yeah. That is first and this is the second visit now. And then he said, Sugriva said, Ram along with the army has already come. And he said, very soon you will come to see many more miracles, he said. And he slipped out of his hand and flew off again. And he came back. And when he came back to the Ram's army, Jambavan was there. So Jambavan said, so you had spat on Ravana's face and come. And Sugriva said, how did you know? Sugriva asked. Jambavan said, I have been in Ram's pastime many, many times. I remember. Because Jambavan participates in Ram's pastime. So, after some time, Angada was missing suddenly. And Angada had gone. He had flown. He flew to Ravana's palace. Ravana was asking, oh, yet another monkey? Another new monkey has come? And Angada said, I am the smallest of all the monkeys in our Vanara Sena. I am the youngest of all. There is no one younger than me. And then Angada reminded Ravana, you know who am I? I am the son of Vali. As soon as he heard the name of Vali, he was trembling. And not only you should understand, I am the son of that Vali. Along with the army, that personality has come, who is the killer of Vali. Who is Rama, Lord Ramachandra. Who is the Dasharatha Nandan Ram. He has come also. So Ravana was shocked to hear that Rama has killed Vali, such a powerful person. And then he told him that Ram's only desire is that you hand over Sita back to him. Then you will be relieved. He doesn't want to kill you. He has not come to kill you. Give Sita back. And Ravana became very wild. He became angry. He called his ministers and said, what is going on in my palace? All this different sized monkeys are coming and claiming as if they are ministers. They are coming and giving proposals and giving suggestions to me. You know. Immediately he said, he called all the ministers and his son, Indrajit and all of them. Then this fellow, Angada, was telling, if you want to know my prowess, let me show it to you. He said, then he slapped his thighs and he kept his leg on the ground and he said, ask any of your men here to move my leg, even 1 inch, let me see. Then Ravana called Indrajit to move his leg. Indrajit came and Indrajit tried, Indrajit, son of Ravana, he was trying to move. He just couldn't budge it 1 inch. It was appearing like a banyan tree which has deep roots in the ground. It looked like that. And after that, one or two people tried and then Ravana said, I myself will move it now. And Angada asked, so you want to catch my feet? He asked him, never mind, I will do it anyway because I have even shaken the Meru Parvat also. The Meru Parvat, such a tall mountain, I have shaken it. Where even Lord Shiva and Parvati are sitting, I even shook that. What great is your leg, he said. Then Ravana came to catch hold of his feet and shake it. He couldn't. Then Angada said, maybe you can try my right thumb, my toe. Maybe that he may be able to do. Try, he said. Ravana tried moving his toe. Even that he couldn't move. And Ravana was biting his teeth and trying his best. He just couldn't do it. And he asked, where are you getting the power from? Angada said, same old question, what Hiranyakashipu asked. You are asking the same old question. The strength of, my strength which you are talking about, that source, the same source of your strength also. He said, Lord Rama is the source of all strength. He said, my dear Ravana, demoniac king, remember, I told you I am the smallest of the monkeys. There are much bigger monkeys and greater monkeys than me. Like Hanuman and Sugriva and Neela and Jambavan and many great personalities. And you will get to see all of them. If you don't surrender Sita now, you have to earn their wrath. Saying like this, Angada immediately flew off from there, back into the army of Ram. Now, Lord Ram was scolding Sugriva. When Sugriva had disappeared and then came back, Lord Ram said, where were you? And Sugriva said, I had gone to spit on the face of Ravana, and all he said. And Ram said, what a fool am I that I made friendship with you. He said, with a monkey like you. Because, you know, I have not even begun the battle. Already you are going and spitting on the enemy's face. What will that fellow think? I am trying to go for an agreement and everything. And then Sugriva said, my dear Lord, don't worry. After all, I am a monkey. Nobody will mistake a monkey. So, if any human being does it, no one can tolerate it. But I will be seen like a tiny monkey, he said. So, you will find sometimes in the course of Ramayana, you find Ram and Sugriva friendship. Sometimes it goes in the nice direction, sometimes it goes in the wrong direction, but that's the nature of friendship. It's like the relationship of Radha and Krishna. Also, it is said, it's not like a straight stick, it's like a snake, it is said. Why it's like a snake? Like the snake moves like this, you have seen that? Sometimes there is anger between them. Radharani becomes angry and then Krishna, you know, bows down at her feet and pacifies her. And then afterwards Radharani becomes very happy. And there are happy moments and there are, and these are all in the spiritual world. Wonderful pastimes happening. If these emotions are not there, there will be no charm only. Imagine, for example, in the spiritual world, every time there is happiness only, there is only smiling, smiling, smiling. There, nobody does any mistake. Everything is perfect. All perfect. The Lord also wants to exchange different types of rasas. So, sometimes the Lord's pastime, there is a viraha. I was planning to speak about Mother Sita in the Ashokavati, sometime in the Brahmacharya class. So, if you read that section is so heart-melting. It is so heart-melting, it is. Because such viraha and samboga, both are there. Even in the spiritual world, there is viraha and samboga. You know, union with the Lord and separation from the Lord. And Lord exhibits this kind of emotions, different pastimes and different emotions while dealing with his friends like Sugriva or like Hanuman. Or even between Lakshman and Ram, you will find. Sometimes when somebody has a has two sons. You know, people say Ram, Lakshman, Judia. They say, no? They're like Ram, Lakshman, Judia. Sometimes two brothers come, you know, come together. Sometimes you see two enthusiastic brothers. People say it's like Ram, Lakshman, Jodi. Huh? They look like that, they say. So why they say Ram, Lakshman, Jodi? Because they both are like, you know, one soul in two bodies. Huh? Because Ram, Lakshman, they loved each other so intimately. But still you will find they will have difference in opinion. Huh? When Bharat was coming with Ayodhya Vasis and Sena, what did Lakshman think? He is coming to, you know, have a battle with Ram. He thought like that. Huh? And then Ram explained to him, no, your understanding is misunderstanding, isn't it? Similarly, at one time when Lakshman leaves behind Sita to go after Ram, you know, Ram actually becomes very angry with Lakshman. He says, what are you doing? Huh? Why did you do this? How can you leave Sita and come? Actually, Lakshman says, actually, you know, Mother Sita is like my deity. I worship her. But she even doubted my intentions in remaining and not going to save you. When Maricha was calling out, hey Sita, hey Lakshman. I told her that you are not in danger, but she forced me to go. On her order, I had to come. But Ram becomes very, very angry with Lakshman at that time. So you find the relationships are always having ups and downs. Even in the relationships of Lord and his most intimate devotees, like Lakshman, or even Ram and Sita, or even between Radha and Krishna. How can we, mortals or such insignificant souls of this material world, expect that we make a friendship with someone and the friendship will never have any misunderstandings or any quarrels or any doubts, any ups and downs, and it will be uniform like a stick? And if we expect so, that means we are ignorant. Yeah. So this was the main lesson I wanted to speak today here. The friendship of, I've taken a pretty long time. The lessons on friendship that we get from Ramayana. Shri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki, Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Shri Ram Navami Maha Mahotsav ki, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Shri Lapupad ki. Thank you very much.